again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and it is that time of year again, although it really doesn't feel like it, but it is that time again for our famed Beatles gifts episode, and it's just...
Yeah, Dave's already in the Walmart parking lot waiting in a long line. No, none of that stuff's happening this year.
No, we're actually recording the day before Thanksgiving, but I don't know, this whole year nothing really feels at all the same, and certainly the shopping season, like Thanksgiving, did it sort of just sneak up on us? It's like suddenly it's here.
Yeah,
but in any case, don't be alarmed or don't be worried. We have compiled our usual list of standard fare, as well as some interesting items for the group and for the solo Beatles. So and some of the things I think you'll find are obvious and we've already talked about for this year, but then there's some new ones I think you'll find really interesting.
Well, I think the place to start, Dave, of course, is the most pressing issue and the urgent news that the McCartney 3 album delayed a week from December 11th to December 18th. Now, do you think it was delayed probably because they ran out of dye for the different... color version? They had to order some more blue and red dye for their vinyl and CDs.
You say that in a joking way, but there's some of the rumors actually are something to that effect, that the production the production delays have been such because of the first of all, they didn't expect the orders to be what they were, which I don't know how did they not expect that, but then getting the production of these unusual 3,000 limit items.
Well, let me run these down for you. So, I don't know who could buy all of these. It would be damn near impossible. I think it's foolishness, but personally. But, you know, there's collectors out there. They want different colored vinyls. Yeah. And they want different colored CDs now, which is a whole another ball of wax. Let's start with the colored vinyls. So here's all the additions. The red edition that was sold on McCartney's store was 3,000 copies, all already sold out. Most of these are sold out. So,
and it was within minutes, it seems.
Within minutes. Within minutes. You might be able to catch, maybe at a physical Barnes & Noble store, you might be able to get the Barnes & Noble blue vinyl. So there's the second thing. It doesn't list the amount of those. A Target U.S. exclusive on green vinyl. That seems to be sold out on their site. You Discover Music orange vinyl, 3,000 copies, UK only. Newbery Comics version on pink vinyl. Spotify version on 130-gram Coke bottle clear vinyl. U.S. independent stores white vinyl version, 4,000 hand-numbered, 4,000 to 7,000 in Europe. So that's probably the most chance you're going to get one of these. And then there's the Third Man Records variant on red vinyl. You've also got that one that was the 333 edition. That was the yellow vinyl with the three dots that look like dice. Mm-hmm. Of course, all the packaging, if we hadn't said dice-related packaging, handsome-looking packaging.
Yeah, I like the cover.
Has a unique new lettering and everything like that. So that's all the vinyl variants. Any thought on all these vinyl variants, Dave?
No, apart from just that you're buying the same thing over and over again. And I just wonder the marketing. I mean, we're going to get to the CDs because that's part of it too. But there's been discussion, oh, this is Paul trying to make sure he gets a number one. Why that's important to him at this point, I don't know. But is it just a way to market money and hype? I mean, I don't know. I don't get it myself.
Personally, I think it's more about the marketing team than it is about like Paul. Like, oh yeah, so okay, different versions. That's fine. I think he doesn't care. He probably just thinks about the, you know, and these do sell out, and people do buy multiple versions of it. Mm-hmm. Collectors, certain collectors have been, you know, do that kind of thing. Well, we also have the CD variants, and this is like the little trick here is we've got four different CD variants now that popped up came out of nowhere on the McCartney, around the time that they announced the delay of a week, they announced, oh, by the way, you can get all these different CD versions. Usually you're like thinking CDs, they're not selling as well. Why would you buy CDs? They tossed a demo track, a different demo track, a secret track on each four of these four CDs, a blue, red, a yellow, and a white one. And then each of the CDs, you can also get the CD plus a hat or plus a, why you would want to get this, I'm not sure, bag of dice. Did you put in your pre-order for the bag of dice version?
I was so excited about it. I was so excited.
Well, these bundles are available at the McCartney shop if you are interested in them. Many of them aren't sold out yet, the CD versions at least. They're running about $24, depending on what, you know, you get with them. I will say this, the different shirts, it's not just a different color, but a different design on each shirt.
Oh,
on each hat, on each mask. So that is interesting. Okay. And, you know, certainly if you like McCartney shirts, say you're going to, okay, I want to buy one of the CDs, like the yellow CD. Might as well buy it with the shirt or with the hat if you think that looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
It would make a nice gift for people. But a little excessive, if you ask me, to have so much different merchandise out there. For people who are completists, it's costing them a small fortune.
Yeah, well, just for four. So it sounds like if you wanted all the CDs, it would run you over $100 probably with taxes and shipping and everything else.
Yes. Also, one last note before we get to another thing about this. A couple cassette variants.
Oh, no, I didn't even hear about that.
Including there's a regular cassette and a black cassette. And a semi-opaque, smoky tint version. So Dave's already got his pre-order in for his cassettes.
I've got my smoky tint cassette on the way on December 18th.
It does kind of remind me. I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, there was this band OXO. And they had a vinyl album out. And it was OXOXO all over the vinyl. And then it was different. OXO to make the band's name highlighted on different. It was just they put them out and you'd buy one and your friend would buy one and you'd be like, oh, mine has the OXO up here in the right and yours has the OXO. So it's kind of neat as far as that goes. It's like, okay, Dave bought a yellow vinyl and I bought look, I've got the blue vinyl. Isn't that nice? But I think it's excessive, and I think it's a little confusing for the person. And here's the part that bothers me the most, Dave. You know what I'm about to say? They're going to re-release this thing again.
Yeah.
With a deluxe version, just like they've done the last two or three albums. They definitely did this with the Egypt Station when we had Egypt Station came out. We're all like, great. Thank you. And then, oh, it's the Egypt Station Traveler's Edition.
And even before that, they had I bought the Target version that had the two extra songs on it, the CD. Yeah. So that was already something different. And then, then they come out with the Traveler's Edition and then the Explorer's Edition.
Yeah. So whatever version they come out with, and you know they're going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I almost guarantee it.
Yep.
I know you probably heard rumors to that.
Yes.
Whatever version they come out with is going to have these bonus tracks on it that were on these CDs. So I don't know why. I know people are out there buying all of the CDs. I will say this individual just CD on his website is like something like $8. So it's not like the end of the world if you're buying all four CDs. But if you're buying four CDs and then you pop out the CD and you put in the next one just to hear one bonus track, you might just want to wait and buy the deluxe version or whatever. None of this is I'm saying a lot of stuff that feels a little negative towards this. Of course, I'm very excited that the thing's coming out. and you and me might have got a little listen in on some of the early a couple of the tracks.
Damn. Yes, this week there were a couple of the tracks. I don't know if they leaked or somehow they got out. They were first on YouTube and then were quickly removed. And then Beatle Fan Magazine posted a link to, I don't know what the website was. It wasn't SoundCloud, but it was some other something cloud. And that had two of the tunes on it. And so we did, you and I both listened to them a couple times. And now one of the tunes I found out with a little more research was actually recorded way back in the time of Calico Skies. And you can tell because Paul's voice sounds quite different. So it was the ballad was recorded a lot earlier, back in the early 90s. So that's different. But the new tune, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at least it makes me excited to hear the rest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, dive too deep into it because you'll be frustrated because you can't hear them yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just you know, a couple weeks away really from the full release. So, and at that point we'll do a full review of the album. So very excited that the album's coming out, and certainly buying the album for someone would be a great gift.
Yes, and it's conveniently timed right at December 18th, right before the 25th. So
yeah,
very, very convenient.
Are you buying this? You know, we usually try to get this out around Black Friday-ish time. But are you finding that yourself, when you're thinking about buying gifts, just generally, that you're buying them a little later this year because you're thinking like, well, I don't want to buy them on Black Friday and then they get there. And then I'm like, you know, don't open, you know, Zach, don't open this present for like 3 weeks.
Right.
You know, that thing you're getting in 2 days is a gift. You know, you have to go through all that rigmarole. So you might as well just wait till the last buy a whole bunch of stuff on like December 18th.
Convenient time. Yeah. I mean, most of us don't even know what our plans are going to be yet. We may, depending on how things go or how they are in your area. I'm still not even sure if I'm going to be seeing family at all. So that makes the gifts even less of a concern, really, because I'm not even going to be sharing them with people. So it's just a weird time, I think. It's almost like I'm surprised we got as much stuff as we did on this list today, given the amount of given the weirdness of the year.
It's been an odd year, a lot of delays. The biggest of note, of course, is the Beatles film and therefore the Get Back / Let It Be big release that we were hoping to get.
Yeah.
Of course, we had gotten the gift of that the previous 3 years in a row, so it breaks a streak as far as that goes. Of course, that's all coming out next year, well as the Get Back Let It Be book. So we'll be talking about that next year this time.
Yeah.
And before, of course, when they come out.
Well, do you want to continue with Paul since since it was a big year? Actually, Paul, of the four of everybody, I think Paul probably had the biggest year with this, made the biggest splash with this album. And then, of course, the box set reissue of Flaming Pie that we did a review of earlier in the year. And I know Chris loves the minutia of the various versions and the different things included in each. And so I know he's going to take us through the Flaming Pie reissue, which we gave a very good review to earlier in the year.
Yes. So the Flaming Pie, which by the way, is up for a Grammy Award.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Grammy Award nominated for Best Boxed or Special Limited Edition Package.
Hmm.
And this came out in many different versions. So the 2-CD, that's your basic run-of-the-mill, $20, 2-CD. All of these available on McCartney's side, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. Then you got the 2-LP. The 2-LP, this is the first of his regular releases that come along with these archive releases that they decided to do in half-speed mastering, which we've talked about a little bit before. But half-speed mastering, basically they just, when they're cutting the album, they do it at half speed, gets you a little more high-end, apparently. Some people like it, some people don't like it. I'll talk about that.
Yes, that's coming
up.
Put
a pin in that. Yeah. The 2LP 3898, I think, is the winner as far as if you're going to purchase one of the smaller versions. And I would prefer that over the 3LP. The 3LP costs like $60, and all the you get is an extra thing that's the demos. So if you really, really, really love the demos, which we did talk about liking the demos, then go ahead and get the 3LP. Then, of course, there's the deluxe edition. Now, what's in the deluxe edition? The deluxe edition is probably the version you probably are looking at if you're a big collector of his regular releases that come out like this. This is what you would think of first when you do that. Right now, the Flaming Pie 5 CD 2 DVD deluxe edition box set on Amazon is at quite a discount at $148.42. Now these prices change all the time. So
wasn't it like $250 or something when we reviewed it?
Well, and on his website it's $255.98.
Yeah.
So that's the regular price of it. What you get on that is the numbered cloth wrapped clamshell box, the CD portfolio containing the 5 CDs and 2 DVDs, and a 128 page book containing unpublished images by Linda McCartney, expanded album artwork, and the story about behind the album, lots of stuff with Jeff Lynne, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I had to get Jeff Lynne in, Steve Miller, et cetera, et cetera. And then some facsimiles of John Hamill Studio Notebook, Club Sandwich Magazine, Flaming Pie Plectrum. If you don't know what a plectrum is, that's a pick. And envelope containing handwritten lyrics for 8 tracks in the Flame newspaper. So it looks good. And I watched the unboxing video of it. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So if you've been waiting to get one of these, Flaming Pie is a good one to get. It's a great album, you know.
Yeah.
Now, they still have for sale, Dave, on the website, the super duper ultra mega deluxe collector's edition, which is $600. You get everything we just said, and that comes inside a bigger package, which also has the 2LP, it's basically 4 LPs, I believe. Let's see here. Yeah, 4 LPs, because you get the 2 LPs, half-speed master regular album. You get that bonus album, and then you get that Ballad of the Skeletons 12-inch vinyl, which you've been desperately wanting. And you also get some Linda McCartney art prints that do look fantastic, but you're really paying a lot more money for that. What's on the DVDs, by the way? In the World Tonight is DVD 1. It's like EPK. Mm-hmm. And then the bonus film on DVD 2, which has Beautiful Night, Making a Beautiful Night, Little Willow, a couple Young Boy videos, a couple World Tonight videos, a couple EPKs, and, you know, an album, Flaming Pie album artwork meeting. When are you going to spin that like more than once? So,
yeah,
a couple of performances and a David Frost interview. So I make fun of them a little bit, but I like the inclusion of the DVDs and things like that too.
Well, I know people will say, well, if you don't, you know, don't complain about it. Just, you don't have to buy it. It's if you don't want it, then don't buy it. I'm still entitled to an opinion, I think. And that's just obscene. I mean, it really is obscene in this year to put that out and charge people that much money. I don't know. I just.
Yeah. It's a very pricey item. Yeah. It tells me something that they're still available.
That's a good point. Site. That's a very good point.
I don't know that people are really in love with buying that $600 one when you can get pretty much all of that. You're missing a couple art prints in the and vinyl. If you're not a vinyl collector too,
right?
If you're on CDs and streaming, then and you like to, I understand why you buy these deluxe. You know, I as much as I've pressed against at times these deluxe editions, the books, the DVDs, the reframing of the thing, having a nice thing on your shelf, I get all that.
Yeah, definitely.
And so and they're doing, he's doing it very well.
It's gotten
like
better.
As far,
yeah,
and they've gotten better. They've gotten better over the years. And So anyway, that's the Flaming Pie. Now that is not the only release, Dave.
No.
We're missing one major release, which is, I know you rushed out the second and it was available and got the We All Stand Together single.
And Rupert and the Frog. The video, the now unfortunately I didn't even get to see the remastered cleaned up video of Rupert and the Frog song, the cartoon that was that We All Stand Together goes with. You can still see the video. You can still see the cleaned up video, but I did not get to watch the neatly done film. But yes, you can also get the limited edition. It's a 45, isn't it?
And I saw it in my local record shop. Available there, and I know that people did it. I did make a purchase this year, Dave. Our fourth item at Record Store Day. I got McCartney 1 on Half Speed Master. That was a special Record Store Day release, and really liked the sound of it. Really think it's excellent. I'm glad I waited to get that. My first time I've owned McCartney 1 other than on CD, on vinyl.
Yeah.
Now, I've become a bit of a vinyl collector this year, Dave. In that, I was a vinyl collector, but now I'm like a true vinyl collector, and I've spent a ton of money on vinyl this year for obvious reasons.
Yes.
I have nothing else to do. Now, of course, I always like to take a little look inside the old McCartney shop too, Dave, which is a great place to go. Now,
Before you do that, I want to say that Paul definitely. What do you think of his term? He doesn't use a lockdown, so he didn't have a lockdown this year. He had a rockdown this year. You like that? He was very productive in the rockdown.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, it's hard to get to the merch store because they're really pressing this McCartney LPs, the color LPs, and of course the bundles. So it's hard to get to the merch store. But I was on it a few days ago. You know, all of the hats and all that stuff for McCartney 3 do look good.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, on his site, you can get some of the older box sets if you've missed some of those. The Wings Wildlife, some of the live album colored vinyls and all that are still available. So check those out if you're interested. And if you can work your way to that merch shop still, one of the items I thought was most entertaining was the Flaming Pie oven mitt.
Oh. Wow, an oven mitt, which you could use on Thanksgiving when you're baking your turkey.
So that's right.
Does it have like the flaming pie icon on the mitt?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Right. Hey, that's right. Pretty good for your favorite cook. That's a good one.
That's exactly. I've also become a big cook this year.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's a lot of McCartney there. We won't dwell too much on other McCartney releases, but that's plenty of McCartney.
That is. It's been a big year of the four Beatles. I mean, I'd say goes Paul and then John would be next. And so we might as well move right into John if you'd like.
A couple big items came out this year actually from John, which surprises some people. Now, it wasn't necessarily initially what people were looking for.
Right.
But I have it on good authority that thing that people are looking for is still coming. Let's start with that Plastic Ono book, Dave. Why don't you talk a little bit about this?
Yes, so unfortunately we didn't get the John Lennon Plastic Ono box set that, like you mentioned, we all expected. But there is a new book that came out on November 17th, so actually just last week, came out to celebrate the 50th anniversary of John and Yoko's Plastic Ono Band. And it's the prequel to their Imagine book. So I remember seeing the Imagine book. My public library had it, and it was beautiful. Like photos, interviews, really nice. And so this is kind of the same thing. The quote from the website here is, it's the definitive exploration of John's first major solo album after the breakup of the Beatles, Yoko's accompanying album, and the three singles that preceded it, Give Peace a Chance, Cold Turkey, and Instant Karma. So it's got contributions from all the people who were there. So that Klaus Voormann, Ringo, Billy Preston was mentioned. And then the table of contents show it backstories on each song, backstories on the singles, and then discussions about each of Primal Scream Therapy. And all of that. Mm-hmm. So looks pretty nice. Also firsthand commentary from EC. Jan Wenner, lyrics, all sorts of things. So it looks really good. The photos on the website look terrific that they show, and letters and things like that. So I'd like to pick this one up.
Right now, right at this minute, it's going for $34.95, down from its original list price of $50. On Amazon prices change all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's worth the $34.95. I would definitely think that that's be high on the list, and maybe that and or the Imagine book still will be a great gift for somebody who's a John Lennon fan.
What do you think of the cover with the John and Yoko with like buzz cuts, and then John lighting a cigarette here, or putting a cigarette in his mouth?
Yeah, it looks good. Oh, that's what he's doing. I thought he was eating a lollipop. it's cool looking book, and it's on the spine of the book it says, "Who are the Plastic Ono Band?" And so if you flip it, you know, it's an interesting looking thing.
Yeah.
So real handsome looking book, and definitely if you love that album, would be a cherished item to have. The other big release, and this I think is a turning point, Dave, because I feel like as we read recently, Yoko, I guess, is turning over most of the duties of taking over John's archives and taking responsibility for John's output to Sean Lennon.
Yes.
And I would think that that he is instrumental in this first major release being lining up with his 80th birthday, the Gimme Some Truth releases. So this came out
on October 9th, and this, I know a lot of other podcasts have done actual full reviews of this, and we haven't, but maybe we'll do it someday. I think we talked about the packaging. We talked about the fact that really the draw of it is this quote ultimate mixes, and that they've been remixed. And so
yes.
I think when we talked about it, we thought some songs were better and some songs were the same and some songs were maybe not as great, but generally a positive sound.
I generally have a very positive view of it, but yeah. I have Echo Studio, and the Echo Studio has the ability to play 3D audio. This full release of the full version of this was in the 3D audio, so just sounded tremendously great. To me. So I have a pretty good, and I've been listening to it quite a bit actually. So I have a pretty good view of this release as far as that goes. Of course, it makes you crave more.
Yeah, well, right.
So that you get get remixed, remastered everything, and
yes,
with all tons of reviews. But if you remember back last year or 2 years ago, or whenever the Imagine box set came out, we loved that. We liked the extra bonus stuff that came out around that. So hopefully, we'll get some more of that. But as far as for what it is, I think it's an excellent thing. I like the picture. Some people are kind of like, don't like the picture.
Yeah.
But I like the photo on it. So this is all the versions that there are. There's the one CD for $13.98. There's a two CD version. There's a two CD and Blu-ray sort of box set with a book. And you get a, it looks like a bumper sticker and some things like that.
Some postcards. Yeah,
and postcards. And you get a two LP and a four LP box set. So I think the winner here, if I was purchasing, would be the four LP box set, mm-hmm. probably. Because mm-hmm. you get those, and they look handsome, and they're, you know, everything looks real good.
Yeah, definitely.
as far as
it's good to have a set like this for, you know, I know they do this for marketing or for to introduce each generation to John's music, and this, I think, will be a good package for that, because it has all the hits, and it also has a few more of the lesser known or more album tracks, so it's a good collection. Looks good, sounds good. Yeah, recommended.
Also, along with it has come out a lot of merchandising, which I think looks really great on the website. There's a black shirt with Lennon's face, says "Give Me Some Truth." It's a different picture than the one on the album. There's also a brown shirt, which is really, really, really good looking. I like the mug. You know, usually I don't even like, I always laugh and make fun of lithographs.
You do.
But this lithograph is probably the best lithograph I've ever seen. It's sort of like a three images of Lennon. It would just saying, "Give Me Some Truth," going for $100. That's reasonable for a lithograph. You also have, of course, all these sites. Like "Give Me Some Truth" mask. You know, wearing a "Give Me Some Truth" mask around, I think it would be kind of cool. And the mug looks great. It's only $15. Real good gift item there. Additionally, some Instant Karma t-shirts that look really cool. So some new Instant Karma t-shirts. Six different Instant Karma t-shirts. So that's a lot of merch. And the website looks different. And so I think they're trending in the right direction as far as the Lennon website. And I know we wanted that, you know, it's just that we thought we were getting it.
Right.
And then we didn't get it, but in a couple of years, maybe next year, we'll get that plastic Ono Band set, and we'll be, swimming in hog heaven.
Exactly. So yeah, definitely the CD or the Give Me Some Truth was the big item. There were also a couple of books about Lennon too, including one by friend of the show Ken Womack, who put together a book called John Lennon 1980: The Last Days and the Life, and it's kind of tells the story of what happened from 1975 to 1980, and bringing back the discussion about the Dakota sessions and his recordings, recording Double Fantasy and Milk and Honey. What became Milk and Honey? Sort of getting a sense of what John was doing during that time, because it's often said, oh, he just was quiet for 5 years, but he actually was doing a lot more than people thought. So that would be a book to check out. And then you had another one by James Patterson, similar.
Yeah, there's another one. Also, it's called The Last Days of John Lennon. So it's a very, very, you know, obviously with this being an anniversary and everything, you know, renewed interest in the thing I want to hear about the least, probably. Yeah,
unfortunately.
Which is his death. And, you know, like the guy recently, you know, I think there's the whatever Mark David Chapman got signed.
Yes, I saw the album, auction. The Double Fantasy that John signed right before it happened. Yeah.
I don't want to buy that. That's morbid and a sad thing. But Last Days of John Lennon here looks like getting some good reviews with James Patterson.
It's so sad. I mean, you're hearing or just reading about this stuff and thinking how he was just right on the... I mean, we've talked about this before, but John was really kind of at a rebirth moment and feeling good about... I mean, he wrote a song, Life Begins at 40. You know, I just kind of was seeing positive things coming ahead, and then for that to happen at that time is just one of the great injustices of history in the 20th century.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, just a quick note here. Ken Womack, KennethWomack.com is a pretty well put together site from Ken Womack. So if you're thinking about buying that book, why not go buy it directly from the source, Ken Womack? A lot of great books Ken Womack has, and seemingly a nice fella too. So support him through KennethWomack.com.
So yeah, that's so I'd say John and Paul had some pretty good representation this year. Lots of material. So
yeah,
for the other two Beatles, lesser amounts. So
yeah, not so much.
Yeah,
there is an item coming out for Black Friday Record Store Day, which is probably before this podcast comes out, I'll already be in line. maybe not purchasing because I'm not big into 45s, but if you are a collector, 45 of My Sweet Lord coming out. I don't know if that portends that there's more Harrison releases coming out at some point. The only other Harrison-related item that really has come out, well, there's a couple, depending on your price range. There is a Fender Custom Shop limited edition George Harrison Rocky Stratmaster built by Paul Waller from Fender here, available. And now I'm checking a Chicago Music Exchange, a local music shop, and it is available there for the low price of $25,000.
Well, that makes that Flaming Pie box set seem like a chump change. Or...
It looks exactly, it is the Rocky Strat.
Magical Mystery Tour and all the places you psychedelic. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Check it out. Yeah, there's a video about that on the George Harrison website. The George Harrison website also, I feel, has improved recently.
Yes.
And we're getting news stories updated regularly, including there's some material there about the previous Record Store Day release of a vinyl of Chance of India, the Ravi Shankar album. Mm-hmm. So that's out there floating around, too, still. If you're looking for Chance of India, that's probably the biggest George release other than that My Sweet Lord single. We're probably gearing up maybe for those deluxe Harrison sets, but they're taking their sweet time.
Definitely. So while you wait for that, for the audio, you can check out two Harrison books that came out. One is called George Harrison Be Here Now by Barry Feinstein, who's a photographer and has a lot of great photos of George in the early 70s. So during Living in the Material World, during Concert for Bangladesh, maybe even All Things Must Pass. So a lot of that period, there a lot of really great photos there, coffee table book. And then the other one is George Harrison on George Harrison Interviews and Encounters, edited by Ashley Kahn. And so that's a collection of the majority of interviews that George did in his life. And I heard an interview with Ashley Kahn, and he was talking about how the most interesting thing for him was how George was, well, a couple of things. George was already like very mature as a young man. I think we know that even in his Beatle days, he was pretty mature. But then hearing his views change throughout his life about spirituality or the Beatles, it's just fascinating to look at his whole life. So that's another good one to check out. George Harrison on George Harrison.
Yeah. And all these books, available on Amazon, but also available on I'm sure many of our listeners get the extraordinarily lengthy emails from the Fest for Beatles fans. If you scroll all the way down, I might be suggesting the shorten their emails a little bit, but if you scroll all the way down, you can get sometimes signed versions of these on that site, whereas you know obviously if you buy them on Amazon, they're just the regular book. So check that out, because sometimes the price difference is like a couple of bucks and you got a signed version, which is way cooler. So that's all the George. Now Ringo, almost nothing this year from Ringo. I mean, he did have that concert that some people watch. But I was checking his website and I was amused by the Peace and Love cufflinks. Oh. Peace and Love sign pin cufflinks with a Ringo with an R with a star. And then on the other side of the cufflink is a peace sign and a love sign. $190
I was going to say it had to be boutique price. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's got, you know, he's got his usual array of shirts and things of that nature. So not much from Ringo, but maybe we'll get more Ringo next year. Now, Dave, Beatles.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we got robbed from our big Beatles releases this year. We got hosed.
Yeah.
But
thanks to COVID.
There are a couple of books out there, and we definitely want to point out one thing about one or two books.
Yes.
That really are just the same book.
Yes. So you may have seen a book by Craig Brown that was published first in England in April, and it was called 1, 2, 3, 4, The Beatles in Time. And then later in the U.S., there was a book called 150 Glimpses of the Beatles that was reviewed in the New York Times by comedian and pundit Bill Maher. And I was thinking when I was looking and preparing for this, I thought, well, this is weird. Craig Brown would write 2 500-page books in 1 year. And then doing a little more research, they're actually the same book, just different titles for the U.S. and for U.K. So here we would look for 150 Glimpses of the Beatles, which looks like a really good book. It got a very good review from Bill Maher and from elsewhere. It's kind of like it says, 150 glimpses. So trying to take different snapshots and different people that surrounded the Beatles and kind of telling the story that way instead of in a full narrative. So you'll have a section on Jimmy Nicol or a section on Derek Taylor or all these different, or Ed Sullivan Show, or just kind of certain things. And I have yet to get it. I'm going to check it out later and see, but it looks very good.
Yeah, I think that's top of my list as far as all these books go. Well, maybe the John Lennon Plastic Ono would be top, and then this, that'd be a close second because it does look good. There is another Beatles book came out called And in the End, The Last Day of the Beatles. This is from author Ken McNabb. Going for about $24. By the way, that other book's going for only about $15.
Oh, it's a cheap one
on Amazon right now. Good reviews for this, and in the end too, says meticulous research transport you right back to the end of the '60s and the sad disintegration of the world's greatest band. That's one of the reviews here. Yeah, you know. We're going to be reading a lot about the end of the Beatles next year, but that might be a little bit more rosy colored glasses. I'm sure they're not going to accentuate the negatives.
No.
Definitely worth a look this and in the end, Last Days of the Beatles.
And now the moment I've been waiting for here, Chris has done a deep dive on the Beatles store. So explain, tee this up here. What's going to happen?
Well, every year I like to go through the Beatles store and pull some things, and we tend to make fun of some of the higher priced items. So Beatles store is getting bigger and more comprehensive. I think they've realized, let's put out as much Beatles merchandise as we can get. So there's partnerships and there's a certain thing. So I thought it'd be fun to look at some of these items and have Dave guess the price. So we're going to play Beatles Store, The Price is Right. So as you know, in The Price is Right, if you go over, no, we're just going to say, Dave will take a guess at the price in American dollars now.
Yes.
And because I'm in the Beatles U.S. store. Now, there, obviously, if you're the Beatles store, the other good thing about the Beatles store is that it's designed where there's a U.S. store, there's a U.K. store, and there's various other stores. So whatever region you're listening to this in, you can buy and get all the prices on that. So but this is in American dollars. So we'll see how you do on the here.
All right,
okay,
I'm ready.
So let's Let's start. Okay, first item. This is from the Toys and Games Hornby collection. And this is a Eurostar Yellow Submarine train set. Eurostar's first use of the Class 373 for an external agency marketing campaign took place in September 1999 when the sets blah, blah, blah. And they go into this big description. Here's what's in the box. A rolling stock, Eurostar Class 373 power driving car, a dummy driving car, saloons with non-working pantographs, track and accessories, a train controller, wall plug transformer, min-mat and the re-railer. And it's all decorated yellow submarine style with, you know, yellow submarine on the side, all the characters, the blue meanies, the whole works. Mm. So yellow submarine train set from Hornby. What's your guess?
Ooh, I'll say $4.99.
No, no. It's only $1.95.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Looks like a handsome set for people who love trains and the Beatles together.
That's a pretty good deal. All right, I'm surprised. Okay.
All right, let's go for the second item here. It's the I'm going to shorten these a little bit. The Abbey Road Silhouette Cookie Jar, Dave. So it's a cookie jar, and if you look in it, and it's one of, and you turn it, it's like one of the people crossing the street, and mm-hmm. you turn the other side's got another, like George. So, well, what do you think? Just a cookie jar.
Is it big? Is it small?
It's a cookie jar size. Bigger
okay,
than
just
a bread
normal,
box.
Normal size. Okay.
Smaller than a bread box.
Smaller than a bread. Okay. Let's say $49.95.
And close. $77.
$77 for a cookie jar. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of these type of items. I'll just name one of them. The Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band limited edition hand-painted double matte cell artwork. Only 55 of these in existence sold Ooh. From the Beatles store. Several items like this, trippy high-end painted cells. One of them is a four set called Sea of Science, which is each of the Beatles. So it's Sgt. Pepper Lonely Heart Club. Hand-painted double mat cell. What's your guess?
$250. Mm-hmm.
No, Dave. $1,195.
I'm not getting the car today on this. My showcase showdown is not great here.
Okay, wow. Now I'm gonna jump. Here, well, we'll see where I go. How about to other collectibles here? I'm going to pull it up, actually. There is one item in collectibles pinball, Dave.
Oh, the Beatles pinball machine. Yeah.
A 1964 pinball machine, gold edition.
Yes.
Please note, only available to ship within the U.S., select white glove shipping at checkout and get set up included with delivery. let's see. Will immerse players in Beatlemania, harking back to retro and inspired play field with modernized twists. The only Beatles pinball machine ever made with only 1964 games available. What do you think, Dave?
That's got to be super, super high end. I'll say
$7,999. Right on the dot.
Wow.
Right on the
dot. Wow. Oh, I got one. Yeah.
Excellent.
Wow.
Great. Okay. Two more items here.
Okay.
Two more. It is in music accessories, Dave. And it is Beatles White Album Turntable.
Oh, these turntables are usually exorbitant.
Now, there is no description on this, too.
That's
so
a bad
you are
sign.
Really throwing caution to the wind, but I do believe this is a project, which, of course, Project has done a lot of these type of things, and it does look like a Project player, which I'm sad that I know that just by looking at it. So Beatles White Album turntable, which is all white.
All white.
Nothing else. No other Beatles insignia. Oh, no, it does say the Beatles on it, just like the White Album.
Okay. Well, I remember the George Harrison turntable was something like $500. So I'm going to say somewhere around that,
$1,799.
Oh, my God.
Just for a white, it's just white, too.
$1,800. Wow.
Yeah. Really something else. Really something else.
Wow.
Okay, Dave. Now, last item. In collectibles, jukebox.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Sgt. Pepper Vinyl Rocket Jukebox. Let's see if I can find some information.
I remember
all
this
machines being hand-built to the highest standard in the UK and are individually numbered. 70 by 7 inch vinyl record rotating jukebox mechanism. Oh, boy. Mm. A D4 digital amplifier. Built-in Bluetooth receiver. So, yeah, you get some good use out of it.
Yes, that's true.
And, of course, it's decorated to the nines with the Sgt. Pepper, including in the background, the whole record, Sgt. Pepper cover, of course, in the background of the actual jukebox. What do you think, Dave?
I remember this was mentioned on, might have been the Fest for Beatle fans site at some point. And I don't remember the price. I'll say $10,000.
$12,995.95.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So quite a item. It is spectacular looking too. If
I'm
like
sure.
It. And of course, all of the little cards say Beatle, different Beatles singles. So I don't know if it comes with any singles. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But something else. Really, really something. Now, that was fun, Dave. But otherwise on the site, there are some items that are pretty cool looking. There are a lot, some pretty cool canvas prints.
Hmm.
I think when we were at Fest for Beatles fans last time, I was like eyeballing some canvas prints. But those were all just album covers. Well, they have some other pictures, including that Tittenhurst picture I was talking about. It's a slightly different picture from the Tittenhurst, and that runs about $140, which I think is reasonable for a nice high-end canvas print. Pretty good record slip mats. Those are reasonably priced. There's a lot of Christmas products this year, Dave. There's ugly sweaters.
I saw the ugly sweater. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a Happy Christmas 1968 trippy looking hoodie, which has the picture from the 1968 Christmas thing, which is all trippy, weird looking, very neat. But my favorite item, I think, is the Help striped palm beanie and scarf.
Ooh.
So those two items are really great looking things. So
they really have come a long way in all four sites. I think I remember when they first started out and we had talked about how bad some of the sites were, the dead links or things didn't work, and now they've really stepped their game up.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the McCartney site is like just like full, going full tilt these days.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's a lot of stuff. So I mean, you think this episode sort of functions as a year end for us as well, even though we still have another month and we're still have some big things coming, but. There's people haven't been taking it easy, so there's been a lot of stuff going on in all four Beatles and the group. So it'll be obviously next year. I think will be just consumed with Let It Be and Get Back stuff. That'll be the whole thing. But
And we'll probably get another archive, Paul or two, depending on what rumors you believe,
right?
And obviously, we probably won't get a new Paul, but maybe we will. Maybe with so much time. This was a one thing which we're about to get into talking about other records. And maybe it was a little bit of a rough year as far as like fresh new releases.
Yeah.
But think about all of these artists have been at home.
Yeah.
Nothing to do. But and often trying to get away from family members, probably. So
like everybody.
Like everybody. So a good example of this is McCartney 3. Yeah. We wouldn't have got McCartney 3 had it not been for the shutdown, and he had some time.
That's true, because otherwise he'd be on the road. Think all these people would be on the road, be touring all the time, and it's hard to come up with recordings when you're out all the time. So
probably about to get into 2021, I'm going to guess is going to be a banner year for both releases, old and new. 2020 maybe wasn't the biggest year as far as releases coming out, but there are some to talk about, Dave.
Yes.
In previous years we would pick one and then we play a track from it and stuff like that. So we're obviously not doing that this year. So we're just gonna chat a little bit. And one of the biggest releases was Bob Dylan,
"Rough and Rowdy Ways." Yeah. So this album was it was kind of the new marketing way. So we got a single, well, I guess a single if you call them singles anymore, but a one tune was dropped and then another one came out. And they were like mammoth too. "Murder Most Foul." The tune was 17 minutes long, and then
"I Contain Multitudes."
"I Contain Multitudes"
was the first track on album when it came out.
Yes, and so that kind of whets your appetite for the full album, and then "Rough and Rowdy Ways" did come out, and there's a lot to chew on. I mean, it's a long, heavy album. But a really good one, and he sounds much rejuvenated. I think his voice sounds a lot better than it has recently. It's nice to hear him singing his own songs instead of all the American Songbook tunes for Seem
Triplicate.
Forever.
Several other albums with sort of throwback type stuff. But I think they got used to kind of playing in that. The band that's on this played on those albums, and they are so tight.
Yeah.
Like a spectacularly tight band.
Yes.
Which really, with new Bob Dylan songs, really gives it a punch, I believe, that universally praised this album across the board. Even Pitchfork gave it a 9, I think. So
the way they supposedly recorded it was kind of interesting. I think they just, like Bob would say, lay down a blues groove, slow blues, and they would just kind of make up the music there with the lyrics he had, or now do a fast, like a shuffle or something, and they would just kind of work on a theme. And it's pretty effective. The "Murder Most Foul" has a lot, sort of loosely based on the John F. Kennedy assassination, but then it turns into a lot of other things and goes lots of different directions with music and his views on different things. So it's a journey.
Yeah. The thing about the album too is there's a sort of a mysterious humor in it.
Yeah.
And until you get its humor, you're like, some of these lyrics I'm not so sure about. Like he was a patsy like Patsy Cline, I think, being the most obvious example of like, what? That doesn't even make any sense. but it's just word salad more than word association more than like really something that means something. But on repeated listenings, it just has grown, in my estimation, to being like a really, really terrific album.
Yes.
Another artist both of us are very into and definitely just absolutely loved his previous release to this, full album release. Of course, he does all these side projects all the time. Is Sufjan Stevens, and he had an album come out. I think we both got it on clear vinyl, Dave.
Yes.
You're not a big clear vinyl guy usually, but
no, for this one it was a different story. So this album was kind of the Ascension. It's another one that was teased a little bit because there's a song on it that there's actually a song that's not on the album that was also released as part of a Spotify thing. But it was this is another kind of lockdown or rockdown album, if you will, where it really doesn't have much more than Stevens himself playing with a lot of synthesizers and kind of experimental things, but yet there's also some really poppy tunes. There's a song called Video Game that is really an earworm that you can't get out of your head. There's a song America, which is kind of bitter to some sort of a commentary on the state of the country right now. There's some other ones that it sort of just flows to me, flows one into the other, kind of with the sounds, and it's another kind of just takes you in type of album. I know some people, I don't know what you, we haven't even talked. I don't even know what your thoughts on it are. So yeah, what.
I like it. I'm a huge Sufjan Stevens fan. I've liked most of his albums. I like it. I think it reminded me a little bit of The Age of Odds, which when that came out, that was sort of a also gave people a little bit of a whiplash in that he'd been, you know, his previous albums had been so sort of like guitar and vocal and strings, and then all of a sudden you're getting a lot of jumpy sort of sounding electronics in the background. And some people just don't like that kind of thing. And so it just off puts them that they're synthesizers. But I like it. I think it's got some good, very, very good tunes on it. And I think that tune America is excellent and also kind of sums up maybe better than anything, kind of how people feel about America right now. People on both, but all kinds of different political viewpoints. It's just sort of like this has been kind of a sad time of
Yeah, it's
disappointment.
not real partisan or anything. It's yeah, the way I was hearing it's, oh, it's a real taking down certain sides, but it doesn't seem that way. It's more of a general kind of sadness.
I wanted to mention a few other albums before we get to anyway. Flaming Lips came out with now Flaming Lips have been releasing albums year after year after year.
Big
They're
Beatle
very,
fans.
very big Beatles fans and very prolific. In fact, they did a whole Sergeant with a little help from my friends or something like that. Some weird thing that they did. But their album this year called American Head also, I think, really sort of like felt like it captures this moment. Has a lot of songs that are I have a little bit of a viewpoint of political, but making it very personal. And just beautiful sounding songs. A lot of great stuff on that one. So I'd check that one out, American Head, Flaming Lips. I also just wanted to mention a few two or three other albums that just Destroyer, if you don't know the band Destroyer, they released a lot of records over the year. And their album came out all the way back in January. So you kind of forget it seems like 8 lifetimes ago, January, but they released an album called Have We Met that is a excellent album. So I'd recommend that one. I'd recommend Laura Marling, Song for Our Daughter. Laura Marling, very sophisticated sounding a singer from England. Who, very deep, very beautiful voice. And it's shocking how young she is. And well, now she's actually aging into her voice and has a daughter. And this album sort of like particularly if you're a new parent or something, I think you'd really enjoy that. And last year I brought up Big Thief. Well, Adrian Linker from Big Thief has an album out called Songs and Instrumentals, and I can't stop listening to it. It's just excellent album. Very just her and a guitar for 2 full discs worth of music, and it's engrossing, and you just want to get back to it. So
I'll check that out.
So excellent stuff there. What's another release from this year, Dave, you got on your list?
Well, for me, the only other new one, because I think that this was a bigger year for reissues, for obvious reasons, because people can't really record that well unless you're doing a McCartney thing. But Bruce Springsteen's new album, Letter to You, is pretty good too, and very much a commentary on the times and commentary on his own life and kind of what he his views of music and life, and he sounds comfortable, like good, in a good way. So I highly recommend Bruce's new album. I can't see him perform, but Letter to You is definitely good and worth it.
If you have Apple TV Plus, I believe there's a hour documentary about the making of
Yes, Letter. Which I don't have and can't see, so but I want to.
So I like Apple TV Plus. I got it sort of mid-year because I was like, why the hell not?
I know. Now's so the time to try this stuff.
Most of the Apple TV programming, and it's pretty good stuff. Reissues came out this year. The first one I wanted to mention are these PJ Harvey reissues. Now, I don't know that I've ever once mentioned PJ Harvey on this podcast, but I'm a colossal PJ Harvey fan. And I had been kind of looking at eBay and being like, are there even vinyls I can buy of her earlier albums? And then probably like 2 days later, like massive PJ Harvey reissue campaign to begin. So this year she began re-releasing these albums in vinyl format, of course, with the download card and all that. And at the same time, they come out on, again, in better form on streaming platforms. But her albums Dry, Rid of Me, To Bring You My Love, and her one of my favorites, which is Dance Hall at Louse Point, which is her with John Parrish. Additionally, three demo album records came out, all on vinyl. Wow. That's seven albums, Dave. I own all of them. Yeah. So, huge PJ Harvey nut.
You can't make fun of those people buying the McCartney 3 vinyl or the 4 CDs.
Well, I'm getting different albums.
Thing. Okay. Though. All right.
So, but I love them all. Love them. Fantastic stuff. Dance Hall at Louse Point is a great missing album from people's collections that everybody should have. Rid of Me, obviously, excellent album to Bring You My Love, I think, was the big one that made her a big, huge sort of hit in the 90s. And I'm sure there's going to be more of her albums after that are probably going to be released next year. So I'm looking forward to those. So PJ Harvey reissues.
Cool. Well, I have two reissues I thought were interesting. One is the Wilco Summer Teeth Deluxe reissue. Summer Teeth was the first album that got me into Wilco back in 1999. So it's always had a special spot for me. And then also, this one kind of came as a surprise. I'm a big Joni Mitchell fan, too. And there's a whole set, Archives Volume 1, the early years, 1963 to 67. So it's her before. I don't even know how people recorded these things when she wasn't even famous or barely knew who she was. But recording gigs in Philadelphia and other places of a lot of the early songs like Both Sides Now and Circle Game and things like that that were in their infancy. And you can just hear her develop from a folky singing House of the Rising Sun to Both Sides Now. And just that voice was always there and that great guitar playing. So definitely it's a lot to listen to. It's like five discs of acoustic music. It's a little much and repetitive, but if you sample it, I think you really like it.
Well, good. I you know, that's a great recommendation because I've just now been getting into Joni Mitchell. And I realized that my wife is very into Joni Mitchell because when Blue was on the other day, she was like sing every single word of it. I was like, I didn't know you know Blue as well. So
good.
Couple of other just quick recommendations here on that. Nina Simone, Fodder on My Wings it's just an old album that no one ever heard and just kind of flopped and didn't go anywhere. But they sort of gave it a proper treatment this year with full with new graphics and everything. And I just think it's a pretty good album and very catchy, very interesting in music. And then, you know me, Dave, David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
So a couple big David Bowie things. One is The Metrobolist, which is basically the album Man Who Sold the World. sort of repackaged, but we're getting these David Bowie albums are getting the same sort of treatment that the Beatles albums are getting, where you get a remix of it from the original engineer, in this case, Tony Visconti. And this, so far, it's his first two albums have gotten the treatment, Space Oddity and The Metropolis here. And they both sound so great, pack a greater punch, and you hear vocals and drums and instruments that you'd never heard before and that kind of thing. So that's a definitely something to check out for sure on streaming. They're really excellent. And a big box set came out with Iggy Pop, The Bowie Years. And I'm not the hugest Iggy Pop fan, but the two Bowie albums are really good. The Idiot and Lust for Life, which is probably just excellent, excellent album, and got a bunch of live, you know, live stuff. And Bowie just went on tour with him as his keyboardist for a year or so, just kind of like trying to disappear, if anything, during his Berlin years. So, and then this is sort of his, if you like Bowie and his Berlin albums, I think you'll also like the two Iggy Pop albums. So the Iggy Pop Bowie years set came out too. So,
wow,
very good. Lots of good stuff. Lots of good reissues. Richard Linda Thompson came out with something, and you know, there's a lot of good stuff that I just didn't even get around to.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it funny with all this extra time? It's still there's, you know, you have to be in the mood, I think, to kind of sit down, or at least when you're working day to day, then you look forward to, like, you actually make time for it. But here, there's not the urgency as much because we're sitting home all the time. So, yeah, I can listen to that tomorrow, or I'll listen to that next week.
Yeah. I have probably listened to more than my share, though, this year. I really have been in a routine of like, oh, I definitely want to put some music on while I'm cooking.
And yeah, that's true.
I definitely want to put some music on sort of towards the afternoon. And it's usually one of these, I sort of doubled back and got a couple of the older Bowie sets, the box sets with all the vinyl. You can't get that first one though. It's like it's sort of like the Beatles mono set that stupidly never bought, which is a real mistake. you know, cause I'd be spending that left and right.
Well, so actually, I'm, you know, I feel there's been a lot more material here this year than I thought. So,
yeah, yeah, and there's definitely, if you're buying gifts, you know, you might spend couple hundred dollars or more to travel home that you're not going to spend. Why not buy a buddy or someone whose podcast you listen to? No, I'm kidding. why not buy like a friend a record, or you know, just buy him some music, or buy him, oh, he likes John Lennon, so I'll buy him a John Lennon shirt and ship him a shirt.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah,
you know,
it's a great idea, and that doesn't have to be for Christmas or Hanukkah or anything else, just because. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you got if you got friends, they're probably a little lonely right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if they're putting, you know, it seems like they're doing great. Maybe they're not doing so great. So reach out, send an extra record around.
Mm-hmm.
Send a greatest hit. You know, there's that. You know that we said, oh, we don't. You know, we're big Beatles freaks, so we don't necessarily need the John Lennon set. But maybe you've got a friend who barely, you know, listens to any music, and boy, a John Lennon greatest hit set would be fantastic for them. So
that's great. That's a great point. Yeah. Well, that's been a lot of good things to discuss, and you know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. So we're definitely thankful that we have you listening to us, and thankful for each other, and that we're still doing this here 8 years later, and enjoying
unbelievable.
It. Yeah, it's unbelievable, and there's still so much more to get into and so much more to talk about. So it's a good time in the midst of this difficult year for everybody to keep that in mind. And so, yeah, we're happy to keep getting messages at I've Got a Beatles Podcast at hotmail.com, and on Twitter at I've Got a Beatles and Chris's Twitter at Chris D. Bragg.
That's right.
Thanks for listening as always, and stay safe. Enjoy your Thanksgiving and holidays if you're in the U.S. And we will be back at you soon with our next episode.